Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are learning, we learn Ishmael Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoav Vechana Alav Hashem, may his neshama have an ali in the merit of our Torah. Also, with your permission, also we are learning as a Zeschus Rafa Shalema, Racha Avigail Bas Racha Gita, who needs Rachamei Shamayim. Blessed be Hashem, Shabbosach HaTorah Rafa Shalema. So let us begin with the Tfil Al Hadibur, on the inside flat, please. Ribono shel olam, yehi ratzon b'fanecha arachem v'chanan shetezakeini hayom, v'v'chol yom lishmar pi lishoni milashon hara v'chilus v'ezahar milidaber afilu al ish yachid, v'kol shekein al klal Yisrael o al chelek mekem, v'kol shekein mil Yisraim al midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ezahar milidaber divrei sheker, chanufa mechlokas ka'as gaiva, olnas dvarim habanas panim leitzanus, v'chol dibur azor v'zakeini shel lidaber kim davar hatzarich, l'inyanei gufi v'nafshi, v'yu kol ma'asai v'divrei. Before we start, I just thought I'm going to take 2 minutes in honor of Yom Yerushalayim. What's wrong? Oh, no, I thought you were looking at something. In honor of Yom Yerushalayim, just to read something that I actually shared last in the Parsha class, but that's quite amazing. Of course, we are at the Tzlan Shalom Yom Yerushalayim, but 1967, 2017, so it is the 50th year of the reunification of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. So what I just wanted to read in really a couple of minutes is the transcript of the historic, you heard this last in the Parsha class, live Hebrew broadcast on Kol Yisrael Radio, June 7th, 1967. It's the live radio broadcast as the troops are entering the liberation of Temple Mount Har Bayit, the Western Wall, Kotel Maharavi, by the IDF. This is Mordechai Twersky reporting from Yerushalayim. So this is June 7th, 1967. What you are about now to hear is perhaps one of the most riveting recordings in the modern day history of Israel. I refer to the dramatic sounds of Tzahal, Tzva Hagana Yisrael, entering and liberating the Ir HaTikah of Yerushalayim and the Kotel Maharavi, June 7th, 1967. You will hear the sounds of gunfire, footsteps of the Israeli soldiers as they draw closer and closer. General Uzi Narkis asks to be shown where the Kotel Maharavi stands. They don't even know where to go. We hear a triumphant brigadier, Shlomo Goren, later who became the chief rabbi, who recites the Yizkor prayer, a memory of those who fell. We hear the shofar, the Israeli soldiers weep with sorrow over their comrades killed in battle. Colonel Matagor, and then he comes to the recordings. Colonel Matagor on the loudspeaker, all company commanders were sitting on the ridge. We're seeing the old city. Of course, this was in Ivri. We're seeing the Ir HaTikah. Shortly, we're going to enter the Ir HaTikah of Yerushalayim that all generations have dreamed about. We'll be the first to enter the Ir HaTikah. Eitan's tanks will advance on the left. We will enter through Shar HaAryeh. The final rendezvous will be on the open square above, the open square of the Temple Mount. So they're in the open square now. There are sounds of applause by the soldiers. Yossi Ronen, we're walking on one of the main streets of Yerushalayim towards the Ir HaTikah. The head force is about to enter. You hear gunfire. Yossi Ronen, they're shooting from all directions. We're advancing towards the entrance of the old city. Sounds of gunfire. Soldiers footsteps. There's yelling of commands to the soldiers. There are footsteps. The soldiers are keeping a distance of approximately 5 meters between them. It's dangerous to walk. There are snipers shooting here and there. You hear sounds of gunfire. We're advancing towards the mountainside. On our left is Har HaZeitim, ancient Jewish cemetery. We're in the Ir HaTikah opposite the Russian church. We're running next to the mountainside. We can see the stone walls. They're still shooting. The tanks are at the entrance to the old city, and ahead we go through Shar HaAryeh. I'm with the first unit to break through the Ir HaTikah. There's a Jordanian bus next to me, totally burnt. It's very hot here. We're about to enter the old city itself. We're standing below Lion's Gate. Soldiers take cover next to the palm trees. We're getting further and further inside the city. You hear gunfire. There were different forces. I don't know how it works, but it's a time of war, so there's different people taking it at the same time. Colonel Montagur announces on the army wireless, Harabaya Biadenu. I repeat, Harabaya Biadenu. All forces stop firing. This is the David Operations Room. All forces stop firing. Stop firing. Over. Uzi Narkis says, Mata, there's no one like you. You're next to the Mosque of Omar. Yossi Ronen, I'm driving through the Lion's Gate all the way into the Ir HaTikah. Comb the area. Discover the source of firing, says the commander. Protect every building and every way. Do not touch anything, especially not the holy places. Lieutenant Colonel Uzi Elam blows the shofar. The soldiers are singing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And Uzi Narkis says, tell me, where is the Kotel HaMaharavi? How do we get there? They don't even know where the Kotel is. They don't even know how to get there. Yossi Ronen, I'm walking right now down the steps towards the Kotel Ma'aravi. I am not Dati, he said. I am not a religious man. I never have been, but this is the Kotel Ma'aravi. I am touching the stones of the Kotel Ma'aravi. The soldiers recite the Shechianu blessing, Shechianu v'kiimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazer. Rabbi Shlomo Goren blesses Baruch Atah Hashem, Menachem Tzion uvone Yerushalayim, who brings comfort to Tzion, builds Yerushalayim. The soldiers say Amen, they sing a tikva next to the Kotel. Rabbi Goren says, we will now recite the tefillah, the Yizkor tefillah, for the fallen soldiers against the enemy of Israel. I saw when I was preparing that 777 soldiers, and I could be wrong, fell in the Six-Day War. So when you compare it to the Yom Kippur War, where thousands fell, it seems like a small number. 777 Jewish boys, that's a lot of lives in 6 days. Shlomo Goren, Rabbi Goren, recites the Kel Malei Rachamim Shochim Bamiromim Hamatze Menucha Nechona Al Kamfei Hashchina B'Ma'alo Kedoshim Giborim V'Tahorim. The Kedoshim, the pure ones, the courageous ones, the Tahorim, the pure ones, the holy, pure religious ones, Kizoha Harakira Meirim Umazhirim, Vinishmat Chayale Tzvaha Haganal Yisrael Shanafu B'Ma'arachazot, the souls of the soldiers of Israel who fell in this war, Neged Oive Yisrael, who fought against the enemy, V'Shanaflu Al Kedushat Hashem, they fell at Kedushas Hashem, Kedushat Ha'am, for Kedusha Sa'am, V'Kedusha Sa'aretz, and for Kedusha Sa'aretz, V'Shechirur Beit HaMikdash, with their lives. They freed the Beis HaMikdash, Har Habaye, Kota Ma'aravi V'Yerushalayim Ir HaAlokim. This is what he's saying. This is the Kama Rachamim that they're reciting right there. Began Eden Tehei Menuchatam Lachein Ba'al Rachamim Yastirem B'Seter Knafav La'olamim. Guard them in your wings forever. V'Yitzra B'Tzra HaChaim Es Nishmatam Adosham Hu Nachatam V'Nachu V'Yanachu B'Shalom Al Mishkavam. The soldiers are reaping loudly. Rabbi Goren says, "V'yamdu the goralam the kates hayamim v'nomer amei." Their portion says, "Stand to the end of days." They should say, "Amei." Soldiers are crying. Rabbi Goren sounds the shofar. There are still sounds of gunfire in the background. Rabbi Goren says, "Lashana hazab Yerushalayim habnuya, Yerushalayim haatika." This year we are in Jerusalem that is rebuilt, Jerusalem of old. So I thought it was extremely moving and fascinating piece into history. The soldier says, I am not religious, I have never been religious, but here I am touching the stone. So there's called Dodi Dofik, the heart of my beloved locks, Pischili, open up for me, Ra'ayasi, Tamasi, Onasi, Achosi, my sister, my dad, my pure uncle, Shvarach, who says, please let me in, here I am. And we know that the Shechina never departs. The Medrash tells us, Medrash Shir Hashem, the Shechina tells us, Hine ze omer achar kosoleinu, we call the Kodesh Baruch who stands behind our wall, and he is never, his Shechina never departs. And every Jew who is zocha to go, generations only dreamed about that, we have the freedom to get on an airplane and go out the streets of Yerushalayim, daven by the kosal, in the presence, kaviyachal, of the Shechina in such an elevated mandrega. So, sha'alu sha'olam Yerushalayim mishlayu ahavayich. We pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. Those who love her should merit tranquility. Clearly we are not merited the geula ha'asida. There is a lot of turbulence, Rachman al-Itzlan. There continues to be losses in Kedoshim. I just saw that Ezra Schwartz's mother, Ruth Schwartz, is going to be addressing the UN on terrorism. A lot of good it's going to do her. I don't know who at the UN is interested in hearing about Jewish lives last, but we should be zocha to see Shalom in Yerushalayim. Amen, amen, v'amen. Okay.
Yeah, but remember when this was Frankel? When she addressed the UN.
Michal Franco also.
No one listened to her. They didn't even listen to her.
They don't care.
I know they don't care. So why do we bother?
I was also thinking, moving on to, after that few minutes introduction, moving on to our topic at hand, which is Shmir Salashan. That really is the topic at hand, by the way, because the Gemara says the second piece of Mikdash is destroyed for sins of sinas chinam. Called Arshalo Bana Biyamav, says Yerushalmi so famously, Gilinechav Biyamav. So, and remember, we saw the Gemara says they used to strike each other with the swords of their tongue. Swords of the tongue. So if we have not rebuilt the base of Mikdash, it means that we are still very much lacking in this failing. Every Shabbos before Shavuos, the parasha that's read is Bamidbar. the thing is there's many questions and connections. What is the connection between Bamidbar and Kabbalah Satorah, Mamad Har Sinai? Let's say mandate, 1 week away. We're basically 1 week away. We're on the 41st day. I can't believe when I said 40 two nights ago. I said 40. We made it all the way to 40. There's only 49. Here we are at 40. So Bamidbar is very interesting. It precedes Matan Torah, precedes the Yom Tov of Zman Matan Torah Seinu. What is the connection between Bamidbar and Zman Matan Torah Seinu? So Chazal tell us, just like the Torah was given in the desert, and the desert is free to all, so, right, Harsina, the Torah, no, the Torah was not given in Eretz Yisrael. Wouldn't that be logical? Wouldn't that make the most sense? We hear, we just spoke about Eretz Yisrael. It's the Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, it all goes together. So bring Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, pick a mountain there, and Har Carmel, and give us the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It makes a lot of sense. But Dafka, outside of Eretz Yisrael, because of Kodesh Baruch Hu, who knows from the beginning of time to the end of time, knew that Klai Yisrael is going to end up in Galus. And if the Torah was given only in Eretz Yisrael, then what would we think? The whole Torah is Tluya Ba'aretz. If we're in Eretz Yisrael, we keep the Torah. If we leave Eretz Yisrael, the Torah's not Shayach anymore. So Bamidbar, the desert is free to all. It's open to all. So too, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah is open to all. There's no excuses, not when I'm in this place and in that place, wherever I am. Just like the desert is free to all, so too, Torah is free to all. Am I hurting someone? No? No. So, but I was thinking of something else interesting. Bamidbar is also Beis Ba Midaber. A Midaber is somebody who speaks. Midaber. Midaber is Koch of Dibur. Midaber. Man is a Midaber from the moment of creation. Animals are not called Midaber. Animals chirp and bark and moo and meow, but they're not Midaber. Only man is a Midaber. So before we come to Shavuos and Zman Matan Torah Seinu and Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, the awareness that we are married, so to speak, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it is incumbent upon us to keep Kol Divrei HaTorah. So we have to be aware of our koach of dibur. We are a midaber, ba midaber, with the koach of a midaber, with the koach of speech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, through this you can keep Torah. Speech allows us to do mitzvos, it allows us to do chesed, it allows us to learn Torah, it allows us to daven. So we, of course, have a choice with our speech, and before we come to Zman Matan Torah Seinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remind us that the choice of how we speak, when we speak, what we speak about, is truly in our hands, and it is a necessary component for Kabbalah Satorah. I told this over many months ago, maybe last year, I don't know, but it relates very much to this inyan of Midaber pre-Matan Torah, and that speech is a necessary component for Kabbalah Satorah. The Rav Shitzur Rebbe, Tzchusa Yagen Aleinu, and my son told me this, the Rav Shitzur Rebbe said he learns in Yeshiva, the Torah Ba'al Peh. Rashi just tells us in last week's parasha, the Torah Ba'al Peh from Hashem from Sinai, and Torah Bichtav was from Hashem at Sinai, coming up to Shavuos. So all parts of Torah from Hashem at Sinai. It's not just that we got the Bichtav and the Ba'al Peh someone came up with on their own. Everything is divinely endowed, divine in spirit. So the Rav Shitzur Rebbe says, Torah Ba'al Peh begins with Mem and ends with Mem. May Ema Sai Korin as Hashema, Mesachas Brachos, Mesachas Uktin Hashem Yivarachas Amo Bashalom. May Ema Sai Mem, the beginning of Torah Shabbat Pa, Mesachas Brachos, and Uktin finishes with Shalom. Last letter is Mem. You remember this word? Yeah? So, good. Because me, Baruch Hashem Nachas Ruach. So, the Rav Shitzur Rebbe says, why does Torah Shabbat Peh begin with Mem and end with Mem? It's the only letter, says the Rav Shitzur, in the Hebrew Aleph Beis. You're going to have to do it to see, because I can't do it while I'm talking to you. You start with your mouth closed, open, closed, Mem. So if you make it, you'll see, Mem, Mem, make a Mem. Closed, open, closed. So why? So the Rav Shitzur Rebbe says, this teaches us your mouth should be closed. The only time you should open it is for Torah. And when you finish and you have nothing left to say in Torah, you should close it again. So that's in terms of the Torah Shabbat Al-Pah. So beautiful Ha'ara ties in relating to so much we're speaking about. We are a Midaber. Before we come to Ma'amad Arsina, remember the message of Bamidbar. By the way, so much of the failings of the Jews in the desert that is told over in Bamidbar is a result of Koach HaDibur. What was this in the Meraglim? Koach HaDibur, Lashon Hara. What was the problem with Miriam that happens before the Meraglim? She spoke Lashon Hara. Korach and his Eidah with their words, Shai Terubel against Moshe Rabbeinu. So over and over, the Bnei Yisrael are constantly complaining. We see the problem of speech. In terms of the Torah Shah Bechtav, it begins with a Beis, Rashis. It ends with a Lamed Yisrael, so leave. So the Torah is really our heart, and it's really our mouth, and we have to put the heart and the mouth together to be the Ovdei Hashem that Kosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Okay, any questions or comments on that? Okay, let's go. Okay. I'll tell you a page on 54, Parag Gimel. Sorry, excuse me. Okay, Bal Yavoar, in this chapter, we did this first sentence, sorry. Shehelo eis kavua lilmod halachas. You should have an eis kavua to learn the halachas, vah musarim, not enough to learn the halacha, the hashkafa, the musar, the chastisement, hashayachim, is that are shayach, that are relevant to kol chadibur. Sheyi tosfu lo al yideze kama alfe militze yasha avua. You will gather for yourself. You will create for yourself. You know how many thousands, a few thousand of advocates for good if you can do this. V'da'od. That's empowering, by the way. You know what he just said? Didn't realize the first time he read this or any of the times that I prepared this. He says you will accumulate advocates for good. That sentence could be understood is just from the times of learning. See how the sentence is written? He doesn't say you accumulate advocates for God by guarding your speech. Just from having an ace kavua to learn the halachas and the musar that are relevant to Kol Chadibur, through that ace kavua, you're creating advocates, thousands of advocates for good on your behalf. That's an amazing thing. Just from dedicating the time to learning about this idiom, because that dedication demonstrates that I want to be better. It should be a schus, not only for myself, but for those around me. That ace kavua creates advocates, milita yoshar, amazing. V'da'o di'ikar shmira lo ne ases b'kabalas haliv bilvad. Isn't that amazing? What did we just say? Torah shabal peh begins with mem and ends with mem, with demonstrates koach. Dibur, remember ladies, with me? The Rav Shitzur Rebbe says, begins with mem, ends with mem, open for Torah, close again if you have nothing else to say. But then we said Torah shabichtav begins with the beis and ends with the lamed, which is leiv. We need the heart and the mouth, the heart and the mind, the heart to work together. So what does the Chavetz Chaim say? Beautiful. The ikar shmir lo nasis b'kabal saliv bilvad. It's not only by kabal saliv bilvad. So first of all, you need the, not only by kabal saliv bilvad means you need the kabal saliv as the first step. Means I need to accept upon in my heart that I want to learn the messages of the Torah, that when I journey through Bamidbar and I see all the failings of the people in the desert through speech, I have the Kabbalah Haleiv, the acceptance in my heart that I'm going to try and change myself. On top of that, Sheyelo Eis Kavua B'chol Yam. You need Eis Kavua every single day. Every single day. Im av, im harbe, if it's just a little bit, if it's a lot, lilmud halachos v'amusar shayachim l'inyan chelek hadibur, to learn the halachos and the musar that are relevant to chelek hadibur. So I just wanted to share something from the Sefer. In terms of really utilizing the time wisely to learn about Shemir Salashan, right? So, in continuing with the theme of Kabbalah Satorah related to our topic of Shemir Salashan, the nations will claim they were never offered to accept the Torah like the Jews were, right? So, yeah, if I was given the Torah, then I could also have been the Amman Nifchar, the nations will say. I wouldn't be the bloodthirsty savages who would have had Torah. Did anyone see the video? You know, last week there was an almost lynching. A father of eight was caught on the road. And surrounded by an Arab mob. I don't know if you saw that the Palestinian Authority ambulance, you saw? It's terrifying. Blocked his path. The ambulance of the PA blocked his path. He was stuck. It was unbelievable. A father of eight who were, it's Mamish Nisim Vinifos that he was like, not killed. So they would say, we wouldn't be like this if you'd have told us in the Seres HaDibros we're coming up to our time of Torah. Lo Tirtzach, so I wouldn't have been like that. That was my claim. They will say, the Jews were offered to accept the Torah along, so the nations will claim they were never offered to accept the Torah like the Jews were. The Jews were offered to accept the Torah along with the threat of a mountain lifted and held above their heads. If we would have been forced to accept the Torah, that's what Yishmael would say, the bloodthirsty savages, we would have also learned Torah. We would have preferred mitzvos also. So Hashem replied, never would have burned the Jews at the stake. You didn't offer me the Torah. So Hashem will say, I gave you seven mitzvahs obligated on the children of Noach. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. One of them is not to kill, not to do adultery, not to do avodah zarah, to set up courts of justice. Do you really think you would have kept 613? You couldn't even manage the seven that I imposed with you. Left without any valid arguments and desperate to receive everlasting reward. By the way, Bilam says, Bilam says he wants to die Mos Yesharim. I forget the name of the pasuk. Bilam says, talking about Sefer Bamidbar, that he wants to die Mos Yesharim. He realizes, how does he want to die? Like the Jews. He wants to be like Jewish death. They'll be desperate. So they will say, Hashem, give us the Torah now, and we will fulfill all the mitzvahs. Fools of the world, only one who toils on Friday will have what to eat on Shabbos. One who does not toil on Friday to prepare food for Shabbos, from what will he eat on Shabbos? What's the pshat on Friday? You could cook and bake, but on Shabbos, can't do anything. Similarly, what's the nimshal? Only in this world can one perform mitzvahs. In the next world, you receive reward for the mitzvahs performed down here. In other words, the fuzzle will say, Tamus Mosi, Tamus Nafshi, Mosi Sharm, I remember the exact question of Bilam says, in my death, I want to be like them. But that's not, it's a little too little too late. You needed to live a certain way in order to acquire the reward on the end. You can't come to your death and say, I was a Rasha my whole life. Bilam had ayin, ra'a, ruach, gevoha, nefesh, rechava. Oh, now I want a Mos Yesharim. I want to have
the best of both worlds.
What?
He wants the best of both worlds.
Very nice. He wants to be a sinner here and receive reward. And that's what he wants. Wants to be meshubat to his Yetzer. He wants to be free. He doesn't want to have to answer to the Yetzer HaTov. And in the next world, I'm going to enjoy Chaye Olam Haba. This is what David HaMelech says. Azarma le, by the way, I'm quoting from Porch. It's a prayer by Eliezer Abish. Azarma lelokei be'odi. I will sing to Hashem as long as I am alive. Be'odi, as long as I'm here. Make certain to praise Hashem, to do what you can while you're here. We should not waste our lives looking for ways to kill time, to perform worthless pursuits. So then he quotes I saw this online also, author is unknown. He quotes a poem about time. And why am I bringing this to Dafkana? Besides the fact that it's relevant to Mamad Har Sinai, which is next week, trying to tie in Shavuos, but also that we need an Eis Kavua B'chol Yom, and it's the key of not wasting time. It's a huge challenge, especially in this generation, and it affects everybody of all ages. It's a very big challenge in this generation where so much, I think, but the shkafa of society, I'm talking about Ramanam, is to waste time. I'm really not making a joke. I'm not talking about the Jewish outlook. I'm talking about the society in which we live. All social networking sites, I mean, really, what is the point of that? To tell everybody what you're doing when, what you're doing now, what you did yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow. What are we doing? We're cultivating a society who thrives on wasting time. I'm not talking about the from olam, but the society in general. But the problem is that society in general affects our world. So we have to utilize our time, to maximize our time. Eis kavua b'chol yam. It's not only enough kabbalas haliv. I saw something interesting. Maybe that's why Torah Shabichtav precedes Torah Shabalpeh, so to speak. In other words, Torah Shabalpeh is all an explanation of Torah Shabichtav. Why does Bichtav precede, so to speak, Torah Shabalpeh? Because Bichtav is the lev, the beis and the lamed, the seal is lev. The first step is Kabbalah Salev. The next step is guard your tongue. That's the Torah Shabalpeh. Even, wait, we didn't even think about this. Torah Shabalpeh. It's the Torah of the mouth that begins and ends with the mem. So you need the Kabbalah Salev. After the Kabbalah Salev, set an Eis Kavua. When you learn in your Eis Kavua, you will come to be successful, possibly, in Shemir Salashan. It's so interesting. Sometimes, and we've said in this class before, what should you do if you're not the one who says something, but someone says something to you? I was just in a certain matzav just before the weekend. I'm telling you, I know I always give personal vignettes, but I'm trying to reiterate how applicable this class is to our daily lives. I saw a certain situation in a different person, And again, at first it's something I would probably have said in the past. I decided I'm not saying anything. It's not relevant. It's about how this certain person looked, whatever. I said, I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything. So someone came over to me and blurted out the very thing I said I'm not going to say. So here I said I'm not going to say it, and I didn't say it, and someone came over to me, and I heard it. So what should you do? I don't know. I don't know. I just didn't, like, we just moved on. I didn't really say anything, but it's an interesting situation. I don't know why Hashem did that. Here I said I'm not going to say it, and then someone came over to me and did say it, but we need the Eis Kavo, we need the time. So he brings this time bank story down, which I saw online as well. Author in is unknown. Imagine there's a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. Pretty good situation. Doesn't carry over balance from day to day. You can keep no cash balance. And every evening it cancels the amount that you did not use. What would you do? You would withdraw every penny of $86,400. I don't give it back to the bank. Everyone has such a bank. It's called a time bank. Every morning you get 86,400 seconds in 24 hours. Every night, or I guess over the next 24 hours, whatever part you have failed to invest for a good purpose is written off, lost forever. It does not carry over a balance. It allows no overdraft. Every day it opens a new account. If you fail to use the deposits, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You have to live in the present on today's deposits. The clock is running. Make the most of today. To realize the value of a year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of a month, ask the mother who gave birth to a premature baby. That was me. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. You can see that this was not written recently. To realize the value of 1 day, ask the Shabbos observer. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the person who studies Daf Yomi. To realize the value of a minute, ask the person who missed the train. To realize the value of a second, ask a person who just avoided an accident. This has happened to me. If you've ever driven just by an accident that just happens, what do you say to yourself? 1 second later, Chalila v'chas lo aleinu, would have been me. To realize the value of a millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. To realize the value of a millisecond. What's a millisecond? What's a second? Ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. So it is truly incumbent upon us, the Eis Kavua B'Chayam, not to minimize the time that we have. The other struggle that I personally have with that is that, can I know as a mother and other many things, sometimes I become frustrated that I can't do enough in terms of learning Sfarim that I want to learn or going through material that I want to learn. It's frustrating that I can't do what I want to do. So you have to find the balance. We shouldn't berate ourselves if you're doing something else that's productive and you weren't able to have that Eis Kavua. So I know that what's my tafkid. Okay. Because after all, man uses his tongue to speak, ledaber, bamidbar. You just spoke about that. Yosher mimashu mishtamish b'chol v'rem l'nenayim. You use your tongue more than anything else. So by the way, that would make sense why Bamidbar precedes Shavuos. Because yes, you need your whole body to do Torah mitzvos. But what do you use more than any other component? Perhaps in the most powerful way. Your tongue. Bamidbar, bamidaber. That's what you need. You know, think about it. When you insult someone with your words, you don't think you're punching them in the face. I'm making a joke. But think about going around with your fist punching people in the face. Would we ever dream of doing such a thing? It sounds ludicrous. It sounds asinine. I would never do such a thing. But we have no qualm when it comes to insulting somebody with the pekoach of divor. So if you use this more than anything else, certainly you have to know what's asur and what is mutar, what's forbidden, what's permitted. So you should know how to act with them. Like the shochet and his knife, he has to go over it always to review the hilchos of shchita until he is baki. Baki b'shas. He is fluent. He knows absolutely ba'al peh the halachos of shchita. Okay, as it says in Maseches Yerodeh. So, in other words, if you use something all the time, that's the point of bringing the shochet here. Don't you think if you know use something all the time, you should keep it smooth, you should be fluent, you should keep it in working order, you should know the halachos? You'll never get rusty. See, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Torah Shabbat Alpe expands upon Torah Shabbatav. Why is Bechtav come first? First, you need the lave. Listen, if you don't have the lave, you have no desire to do Avodas Hashem. The first thing you do is to need to have Kabbalah Halev. After that comes everything else. Torah Shabbatav, the seal of it is heart. Remembering the mitzvahs brings you to doing. And further, they say in Sefer Vayikra, Ushmartem, the pasuk is Ushmartem mitzvos, I guard my mitzvos, v'asisem osam, and do them, ani Hashem. Ushmartem zoha mishnah, this is learning. Ushmartem mitzvos, that's learning. V'asisem osam, that is the doing. First, you have to learn in order to do so. He's bringing us proofs from Torah, Shabichtav, and Baal Peh, why you have to have Kabbal Salev, and then you have to learn in order to do. Da'al yidei ha'limud sha'adam lo made, by the learning which a man learns, nishmar ha'davar hazah, this matter will become guarded to him. So my brother told me a beautiful vara. My brother Dav, he told me, brought down by Rav Tzvi Meir. Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg's big mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. So, Dov told me something interesting of Sumer. He says, why are there 10 Makos? After each one of them, Hashem could do whatever he wants. Hashem could have just brought the Jews out of Egypt, smote down the Bechorim, killed the whole people. Why do we need the whole process? Especially because what Tzvi Meir says, after each Maka, it seems like a whole charade. Paru says they could go during the Maka because he can't stand it anymore. And then after the Maka, he says, Vayachzak, leave Paru, Vayakabit, leave Paru. They're not going to go as hard as hard. And then we go through the whole thing. They can go, they can't go. So what's going on here? What was the point of Tzvi Meir? It seems like there's no effect to Makas Bechoros when he finally says, where is Moshe, where is Aaron? Take the Jews and leave. So what was the point of the previous nine? So Tzvi Meir says it's not true. When a person goes through a process, even if it's, when a person goes through a certain avodah, like us, let's say, in regards to Shmos Lashon, even if you keep failing, I'm not saying, I'm not recommending they go out and fail, but let's say it's hard, we fail. But you think to yourself, but I'm learning, and I have the Eis Kavua, and I'm creating the Alfei Melitza Yosher Avuro, I hope, I don't know. And we're creating the advocates of good, and I'm trying, and I fail. I say I'm going to do it, and then I fail. So am I like Paro? In fact, Bavavi Mishkan Evan says, every biblical personality resides within every person. So Tzvi Meir says, each step was necessary to get to the 10th step, with each one chipped away a little, even if the results are not externally apparent. Each revelation of the hand of Hashem affected Paro. And without those previous nine, he perhaps would not have come to the 10th where he said, just get out. So what's the Musar Haskel for us if Bilvavi says that within us is a Paro, within us is a Moshe, within us is an Aaron, within us is Avram Vinu, Avram Yilecha Me'artzcha, talking about Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh. So what is the Pshah? But if inside each one of us is Paro, every step, every stage, every Nisayan, every Maka is a step in the right direction. Even if it seems like I say I'm going to do it and then I fall and fail. Maybe that's what Hashem was showing me. I said I'm not going to say it. And then someone came over to me and said, Davka, exactly what I said. I'm not going to say it. But perhaps what's the Pshah? Hashem's teaching us. Every time you seem you fail, if you're trying, you're moving through the stages, you're actually rising. Now, what's so interesting about this part is, it goes back to Shavuos again, if we're trying to tie our class back into Zman Matan Torah Tzedek. Because how many stages were there for Paro? 10. So perhaps each step represents a climbing up in the proverbial Seres HaDibros. Not necessarily the literal, but Lo Tinaf, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Signov. We're always climbing up in our Avodas Hashem. We begin with Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Hashem took us out, Lo Tachmod, you shall not covet. But even when it seems we're falling or failing within the series of 10, we should know we're always really rising. Each step makes a Roshem. Each stage makes an impression. Until we are absolutely successful, Be'ezras Hashem. Hoi vei. Okay, let's just finish this page, okay? And already the Gaon, the great one, Rabbi Tzal Kohen, expounded from Vilna, expanded upon this, he gave a haskama to the Chavetz Chaim. De'ikar ha'rafu ala adam shalo yavu la'lashen hara, hu belimed halachas eilu u'musa rehen. De'ikar, the main healing that will come to man that he should not come to lashen hara is when he learns the halachos and the musa. So, you know, you want the refuah before the machla? So that's an exact example of this. The refuah is learning what not to do before you're put into the situation. V'chein shemati mipiv hakadosh, I heard from him, from B'tzala, koin shelimur eila inyanim hu beklal mitzvahs aseh. Every time you just learn about this, look at this, you're fulfilling the mitzvah sa'ase, zachar es asher asah Hashem elokecha amirim b'derech b'tzeitzchem mitzrayim. So the learning itself is a fulfillment of the mitzvah sa'ase, zachar. I just thought something very interesting. Miriam's name begins with Mem and ends with Mem. That's very, very interesting. Okay, in her name is Mayim, because the Be'er Mayim was in her Merah. She stood by the water to watch Moshe. In her name is Rom, Reish Mem. She lifted up the woman. She had the ability to lift the people up. She lifted her parents up, but she said, why are you married? You're wrestling power. Rom, Mayim, Mar. Mefarshim say she was named Miriam because she was born during a bitter time, but I think it's very compelling that through the limud, we are fulfilling the asay of Zachar, Sashar, Sam, Hashem, Nakach, Miriam, and her name begins with a mem and ends with mem, perhaps alluding to the one sin that we know she did, which is in Parshas Va'alotcha, when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. Okay, so I really wanted to, I don't know what happens here. I really wanted to quote from Rav Elimelech Birim in last week's parasha, because the whole first 6 pages or so are about onas dvarim, are about verbal abuse. So what should I do? It's okay? This week's parasha, he's talking about last week's parasha, teaches us to be cautious from onas dvarim, hurting people with words. The pasuk says this in Bahar, lo tonu ish es amiso v'yareisim elokecha. You should not harm or oppress your fellow. Fear God. Rashi says there, it's onas dvarim, it's verbal oppression. There are many forms of onas dvarim: insulting, embarrassing, causing harm in any other way. This is translated, onas dvarim is verbal abuse. The Gemara actually gives examples in Bava Metzia, I'm quoting Rabbi Neiman, of lo tonu. One says, I remember the averos you committed when you were younger. This is very relevant practically, by the way. In English, it's called don't bring up the past. And sometimes, there's a joke that women do it more. I don't know if it's true or not, but we tend to harp on the past or remember the past. Now, we should remember the past. But if a person has moved on, we're people who remember the past, Zachar Yemos Olam, that's not, I don't mean to erase the past, we don't mean to have revisionist history, but if a person, let's say, harmed you or did something negative, and they have moved on, clearly to Shuva, they've moved on, there's been repair, they're not in that place anymore. So the Gemara says it's onas dvarim to bring up that past. I remember the averus you did when you were young. What's what? I'm talking about if we've moved on, we've resolved the issue, why bring up? In a moment of wrath, you become upset at them, so you need to remind them. So this is very practical halacha, lemaisa, that we can apply. It's applicable to our lives. Don't go to a person and say, it's iser, it's an usser, it's onas dvarim. Another one, onas dvarim, you are suffering because you sinned and did such and such. That's very relevant. We spoke about with the mitzvah. It's the tendency to say, you did X, Y, and Z, so that's what you deserve. Chas v'shalom, in a negative way. The Gemara says, when someone asks you, where can I find a wheat merchant? Don't advise him to go to so-and-so who doesn't carry wheat. That's onas dvarim. That's unbelievable. You might think that's bad advice. It's actually part of onas dvarim. Why? Why would you think? If someone says, where can I buy wheat? This is an example the Gemara gives. Don't tell him, go to this. And if someone says, where can I buy grocery A? You know Seasons does not sell grocery A. Don't send them to Seasons. That's onas dvarim. Why is it onas dvarim? 2 reasons. The first one is, you're embarrassing the person. He's going to go into the store and say, I'm here for grocery A, and they don't have it. It's going to make him feel foolish. He went to the store, he asked to speak to the manager, they don't have it. But this is unbelievable. You're embarrassing the seller. Because when people come in asking for wheat, he will feel like he's not a successful businessman, because he's not supplying wheat. So imagine the lengths, the discernment of Torah, the sensitivity. You might think you're embarrassing the guy who's asking. You sent him on a trip for no purpose, but you're also embarrassing the seller, not only the buyer. Rashi says it's forbidden to insult your fellow man, lo tonu isha samiso, or to give him advice is not good for him. The Gemara says, onas dvarim, listen to this, to hurt people with words, he's quoting from Masechet Bava Metzia. To hurt people with words is worse than onas mamon, which is cheating someone financially, because shaming someone is similar to murder. I think that this is a very appropriate way to end our class, which not only spoke about Shmos HaLashon in depth, but also related everything that we learn, I think, to Shavuos, because one of the Aseres HaDibros, of course, is Lo Tirtzach and Lo Tignov. The Lo Tignov is referring to not kidnapping, but on the level of Pshat is referring to stealing. So this Gemara compares stealing to murder. Ona'as Devarim is similar to murdering someone. Three people go to Gehenna and never leave. Are you listening? That's what the Gemara says. Someone who commits adultery, lo tinaf, aseres hadibros. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public, lo tirtzach. And someone who calls his friend by derogatory nickname. That's very scary. I'm going to repeat that. Rav Eli Melech Biderman says, the Gemara teaches that three go to Gehenna and never leave. Rachman al-Tzlan lo leinu. Someone who commits adultery, lo tinaf. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public, that is equated with lo tirtzach. And someone who calls his friend by a derogatory nickname. Those who embarrass others in public, call mevaza malbim pnechav barabim eino chedek lo haba. What are we saying? Wait, but I'm telling you this on purpose also, because last time I said I was embarrassed and I started crying, so Lissa said to me quietly after, did you daven? In the moment of your embarrassment, you're supposed to daven. So stay with me. It is better to be thrown into the furnace, we learn this from Tamar and Yehuda, than to embarrass your friend in public. Well, I must be particularly cautious, listen to this, from Onas Ishto, continues the Gemara, from insulting his wife. Her tears come easily, interesting, the punishment comes quickly. Well, today, the feminists would say, what would the feminists say? Oh, how could you say that? Women don't cry more easily. That's what they would say today. We're all equal, but like my, so that's not the outlook of Yehadus. We are all equal, but we are created different. And men and women have different emotional levels. It's just not a sexist statement. It's a fact. Men and women are not created the same. But we can take from here, not only offending your wife, but someone who, let's extrapolate from this, because we're women learning, someone whose tears come easily and you embarrass them, your punishment also comes quickly. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, continues the Gemara, all gates of heaven are closed, we know that, aside from Sha'arei Ona'a, the gate of being oppressed. We always say Sha'ar Dima, but this relates to that. Sha'ar Dima, gates of tears, can be linked to Sha'ar Ona'a, Ona'as Devarim. What does it mean all the gates are closed except for the gate of Ona'as Devarim? He who prays to Hashem because he's insulted, the doors of heaven are open and Hashem hears those words. That's why you came to me at the door and said to me last time, remember? This is very, very important. Twofold. Number one, if somebody insults me and you feel, whether you're really crying or you're not really crying, but you really feel that pain. So Lissa said to me last time, but Biderman brings it down from the Gemara. All the gates are closed except for, so it's not just something that you heard, it's Mamash teaching of Chazal, except for the gate of Ona'as Devarim. What does it mean in that moment? That's time to daven. Okay, look at his opportunity to daven. That person's going to have his own or her own cheshbon nefesh. You have an opportunity for tefillah. But the other thing that teaches us is how careful we have to be, because the gates are closed. Rachman and son, if we insult somebody, Ona'as Devarim. And again, this relates to our learning, because I think we have reiterated so many times. When we started our class, I believe, I don't know me, Lashon Hara is a very narrow description. You're not allowed to say something about somebody else. We have broadened our horizons way beyond the scope of don't say something bad about somebody else. There's a lot more in the category of Lashon Hara. Yes?
Isn't there also an Indian, if someone was embarrassed and didn't
answer back.
Then he's capable of giving a bracha. That's
Mikuyan. Right, so Rabbi Amin also speaks about, sorry to speak about that. Someone who's insulted and does not answer back is a very, very high level, and bracha will come to him also. From Shammai, he's on a very high level if he's able to not answer back. It's very hard. All sins get punished by messengers, says the Gemara, continues the Gemara. Aside from Ona'as Devarim, Hashem himself punishes the sinner. Right. 1 second, let me just see something. Okay, one more paragraph. Sefer Chinuch. One more paragraph or no? Sefer Chinuch, the book of Mitzvos. Mitzvah 338 writes, it is proper for people to be cautious with their words. Do not insult others, even indirectly. It's another practical halacha. It's you know, there's something called a backhanded compliment? There could also be something called a backhanded insult. So even indirectly, you shouldn't insult people. The Torah is very stringent with this prohibition. For many people, words hurt more than when they are cheated financially. Chazal tells, he will not be punished by Malkos, lashes, and basting, but the master who commanded us this law has many means of castigation at his disposal. So, in other words, if you strike someone with your words, you're not going to get malchus and beis din, but don't think you're going to escape from Hashem. He has many ways to find you and to punish you. The Chinuch warns us punishment can come due to ona'as dvarim. We are generally unable to trace the source of our suffering. We might not know which sin triggered the misery. However, let us be aware of the severity of hurting another yid with words. It can, chalila, result in immense suffering, so we should therefore be careful. Ona'as dvarim also applies to children. This is all very practical. Ona'as dvarim applies to children, and this is something that people don't realize, which Rav Palm Zatzal spoke about. You can't tease a child. Rav Palm would say that if, you know, the parent wants the child to learn how to walk, so the parent stands at a certain place, so the child moves 3 steps, and they think they're going to be at the parent. Then the parent moves back. Then the parent keeps moving back. Then the parent keeps moving back. So you have to think about what you're doing to the child when you do that. Ona'as dvarim applies to children, just as we may not insult, offend, or shame adults, we may not do so to children either. And this is something that people sometimes think, the child is just a child. The child's a person, and the child's a Jew. There are times when rebuke is necessary, of course, the obligation of a parent or a rabbi or a mother to be mechanech. However, even then one should be, quote, extremely careful, so he won't sin with his words. By the way, I went over that one paragraph. The Chinuch writes, it is proper, one is careful not to hurt children with words, except when absolutely necessary in order to educate. This applies to his own children and all the people of his household. Those who deal softly and do not cause them sorrow will find life with bracha uncovered. So, Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue next time. With that, we should be zocha to learn the message of Ba Medaber. We are a Medaber. We have to have Kabbalah Salev, Bereish, Sparalokim, Meseshamayim, Vesarts, the Ene, Kol Yisrael. The seal, the Chosem of Torah Shebechtav is Lev. Once we have Kabbalah Salev, we can move on to the Me'e, Masa, Korin, Eseshma, Shemi, Varechas, Amma, Basham, the beginning Mem, and the final Mem, which by the way relates to Miriam, which I never thought of until this very class. We should be Zochet of Kabbalah Salev. To guard our mouth, they should be closed, open for Torah, Ma'isim Torah, Tefillah, compliments, and they should be closed again. And that's Chus, Be'ezras Hashem, we should be Zochah to climb the 10 levels. Every level makes a Roshem, as we are Zochah to stand at Ma'amat Harsina and say, Kol Asher Diber Hashem. Everything Hashem spoke, Diber, not a seven Ishma. Thank you very much. Ladies, does anyone have questions or comments?
Yes, Zeris Silverstein Aisha, and his son, Bar Mitzvah, said, you're talking about Peshachah and Tikasacham.
Talking about?
Well, that where does Hashem's Shechina dwell nowadays that they have no base in Mikdash? So in the Pasuk Peshachah and Tikasacham, he said you could say Besoch Mem. and the Mem Sophis is square. So I think he was saying Rashi and Mashra that Mem could be the box of the tefillin. But you could also use yours, B'shachanti B'socham, but in the Mem.
B'socham Mem, that's where Hashem dwells, within the Mem.
Right.
Who said that, Mr. Summerstein?
Yes, Dovi. Yeah.
So we can apply that. He was saying Hashem resides in the tefillin, but we can apply that to our learning. Beautiful. V'suli mikdash v'shechanti b'socham. By the way, mikdash begins with mem.
Right.
V'shechanti b'socham. Within that mem, within the koach of Torah and dibur,
right.
That's where Hashem resides. Beautiful, Ha'ara. Thank you. Beautiful.